Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. A few things we want to mention as we get started. We're thankful you are here. If you're visiting, we hope that you will be encouraged by your time here. We hope you'll let us get to know you a little better and come back and be with us again. All right, we're in Genesis chapter 40 this morning. Genesis chapter 40. And if you have not been with us, we have been working our way through the story of Joseph, which I mentioned, I think, the first week, is probably one of my very favorite stories in Scripture. He's one of my favorite characters throughout the Bible. And we could go a long time on Joseph if I'm not careful, but we will try to wrap Joseph up here in the next couple weeks. But today we're going to look at Joseph in chapter 40 and where he finds himself. Now, if you'll remember last time, if you weren't here, here's the catch-up for you. Joseph, a couple weeks ago, we found, was not liked by his brothers. He had these dreams where his brothers and his family would basically bow before him and he would be over them. And if you could imagine being a sibling or a parent of someone who has this dream, it's an interesting dream, but you're not too excited about the idea of bowing down to whoever this person is. And they start to dislike him enough that they want him dead. And one of the brothers has the idea, well, let's not kill him, let's just throw him in a pit. And he finds himself in this pit and slave traders go by. And some of the other brothers said, well, if we're going to get rid of him anyway, let's make some money on this deal. And so they decide they're going to sell him. And the slave traders take him on to Egypt, where he finds himself in the home of Potiphar. And as Potiphar's servant, he is well respected. Potiphar thinks quite a lot of him. And Potiphar's wife thinks too much of him. And Potiphar's wife decides she wants to be with Joseph. Joseph continually refuses, to the point that he eventually runs from the house out of this refusal. Potiphar's wife lies to her husband and said Joseph was trying to make advances on her, and so Potiphar throws Joseph into prison, which is where we found Joseph last week. And yet, even in prison, Joseph is so respected by the folks in charge there that he's given a great deal of authority, and the way that chapter last week ended was with the idea that God was with Joseph. Even in prison, God was with Joseph. Which brings us to chapter 40. Sometime later, I love the way chapter 40 starts out because I think to myself, if I'm in prison, sometime later does not apply. I imagine myself as the prisoner with the whatever it is you etch on the wall with that you see in all the cartoons and in the movies, where I am counting day by day, hour by hour, the amount of time I'm in there. And I'm going to guess if Joseph looked at sometime later, Joseph could tell you 6 years, 3 days, 4 hours, whatever it might be. It's not sometime later in his mind. This is time passing where he is not free. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials and the chief cupbearer and the chief baker and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. You think your job is bad. You upset your boss, you likely will not find yourself in prison. You might find yourself in the proverbial doghouse. You might find yourself on the wrong side of anger and temper and those kinds of things. But this boss has the ability now to imprison because he's upset with the job that they're doing. They find themselves in the same prison here with Joseph. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. And we find out very quickly something here about God, which is God has a way of bringing people together. Now, generally, we think of this in a positive way, of bringing people together and people working together and all these kinds of things. I want you to think of it more in a different angle of God has a way of bringing people into each other's lives. When there is something he wants to accomplish, when there is someone that he feels that you need to know, when there is some benefit that can come from people knowing one another, having a relationship with one another, God has a tendency to bring people together. And I think most of us, if we look back at our lives, can see that kind of occasion happening over and over and over again. Not too many weeks ago, I told you the things that led to me meeting my wife. Those are not a rare set of circumstances that are all coincidence in my mind. It is God bringing people together. I thought the other day about my good friend Nathan, who spoke for our men's event here a few years ago. My good friend Nathan, when I was a seventh grader in summer band, sitting in the band room getting ready to sweat out on the field for a while, this new kid walked into school and came in and sat down in my section of the trumpets. I am, shocking as this may be because I stand in front of you all the time, I am very introverted and shy by nature. You put me in a crowd of people I don't know, it's some kind of mixer, and I'd like to just go sit in a corner and not pay attention to anything. That's kind of who I am. So when new kids came to school, don't look to me to be the welcoming committee. Or if I'm the new kid in school, somebody's really going to have to reach out. This kid comes into school, seventh grader, new kid to school, sits down, and for some reason, I did something I have never done before in my life to that point. I looked at him, and I said, "Hi, I'm Brian. Who are you?" And we met, and this guy, Nathan, that I met there as a seventh grader in summer band, is still, to this day, my friend. We were texting yesterday. And I thought to myself, because I met Nathan, I was invited to the Church of Christ West, who I met the former preacher a couple weeks ago, who was visiting with us. I was baptized. I learned about Harding University, where I went to college, which gradually led me to my wife, which led me here. All these things along the way. God has this way of putting people where people need to be. And I think if you were to look back at your life and see a lot of interesting coincidences, I would be very curious about how many of those things are really interesting coincidences. I don't think it's a coincidence that these two folks from Pharaoh's workers find themselves here in the prison with Joseph because of what's going to happen in the rest of the chapter. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. They're in prison. Why would they not be dejected? And quite honestly, why would Joseph not be too? This is not a place that just reeks of happiness. It's prison. And they are, of course, dejected because life is not going well for them. He sees that they're dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's official who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" We should still care about others through our own struggles. And I want you to think about that for a minute, because when I get in the midst of something I'm struggling with, it is so hard for me to notice you, because I am so wrapped up in whatever the struggle may be. And I think a lot of us have a tendency to do that. In our Bible classes on Sunday morning, we've seen stories of Jesus the last few weeks where Jesus is wrapped up in some of his own struggles, and yet he takes the time to see others. And here we find Joseph in prison, who could very well just be sitting in his area, marking the days on the wall, talking about how he did nothing wrong to get here, frustrated with life, frustrated with God. And instead, we find a Joseph who sees other people who are struggling and says to them, "What are you struggling with? I can see that you are dejected. What's going on?" And so many times we find ourselves in the midst of those things with the opportunity to use them to help someone else, and instead we get inwardly focused on ourselves. "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there's no one to interpret them." Okay, what got Joseph into hot water in the first place? Now, he's the favorite, we learned in the first week of this. He had the gift, that coat of many colors, which doesn't sound all that big a deal to us, but it was better than what the brothers had, and so they didn't care for him there. But then he also had these dreams, and these dreams had meaning. Coincidence that God places a guy who understands dreams through God's power in this prison with people who have dreams and need to understand what those dreams are about. So then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." These guys have different dreams, and those dreams have very, very different outcomes. And as the two men tell their dreams to Joseph, the two results of those dreams are going to be very different. And to one, he's able to give good news. And he says to the one, "Oh, this is great. This means that this many days are going to pass, and as a result of this, you are going to find yourself back in the employment of Pharaoh," which, although it doesn't sound all that exciting, sure beats prison, if you think about it. Now, to the other man, he hears the dream and says, "No, well, got bad news for you. This is going to lead to your death, but at least now you know it's coming, I guess. And you have this different dream and a different place you're going to go." And Joseph has this willingness to tell both of these people what's going to happen and where they're going to go. And he says to the one who everything is going to go great for, "When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. I only have one request of you. Remember. Please, don't forget what I've done for you here today. You had this dream, and I was able, through the power of God, to tell you what this dream meant. It's going to result in good things for you. And there may come a time where that can somehow benefit me, because I'm here, and I'm here unjustly. Will you please remember?" And you would think And we've talked about this concept before a few times. You would think if someone did something this good for you, put your mind at ease, let you know everything was going to be okay, took that trouble from your heart of what did this dream mean, that that is a guy you would never, ever forget. That is a guy you would always think of, oh, remember that Joseph and what he did for me. And if there's ever a time I can repay that favor, I'm going to do it for him. And I think that's how most of us would feel. And yet we find at the end of all this, in chapter 40 and verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Just completely forgot. I don't know how you do that, how you get there with people. And I like to think we don't, and that we remember all those kinds of things. And then at the same time, how often do we get there with God? We just sang a few minutes ago about God's great faithfulness. How faithful is God to us, and yet when we find ourselves in the midst of struggles, when we find ourselves at the bottom of the pit or in the prison, we forget that God is with us. We forget what he's done. And for Joseph, he is once again probably the last place he wants to be, and he is now forgotten. And now we have a time period instead of some time past. 2 full years had passed. And Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. The cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. And then he has another dream, very similar, with stalks and all these things, and the weak ones ate the good ones, and he wakes up and he's troubled by all of this, of what do I do with this? And the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, after he hears about these dreams, and Pharaoh is concerned because he talks to all his people and all his wise men about the dreams, and nobody knows what the dreams mean, and Pharaoh is just wondering, is there anybody out there? Does this ring a bell to anyone? Do you know anyone who can interpret a dream? And then suddenly the cupbearer says, oh yeah, Joseph. There was that one thing I was supposed to remember, and that thing is Joseph. The chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I am reminded of my shortcomings. So Pharaoh quickly sent for Joseph after the cupbearer tells him about him, and he was brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Our gifts can be used many times in many different ways and in many different places. And I think we forget that sometimes. You have within you, through the gifts of the Spirit, through what God has done in your life, through the talents and abilities you've been given, you have abilities, gifts, skills that no one else has. And you have opportunities to use those for God or to just let those be. And when you use those for God, regardless of the place you find yourself, regardless of how positive or negative it may be, God is glorified and people are blessed. I think of even within our own group here. I mentioned the Bormans back from Europe. Tyler leads singing for us a lot. Tyler is a junior high band director, a middle school band director, which I think takes levels of patience and talent that I can't even begin to comprehend. What it would be like to be a middle school band director and to deal with people learning things for the first time. And I had a friend on Facebook whose son brought home his trumpet for the first day this week, and he was praying for patience and to hear music and all that somewhere. And I thought, I don't know what I put my parents through with my trumpet. And I just think of all that goes into that, all of the struggles that come with that and everything, and how if I came here on a Sunday, I'd probably want to put music behind me just for one day a week. And yet Tyler leads our singing a lot. Our talents, our skills, our abilities can be used in many places in many different ways. And it's not always within the confines of this building. Thank goodness, most of the times it's outside the confines of this building. God has given us gifts to use, and he expects us to use them not only when things are going great, not only when it's a thing we've mapped out in exactly the way we want to do it, but especially when things are tough and when we find ourselves in the place that we don't want to be. And we find that life has not gone the way that we planned, God still expects of us to use those gifts and to use them well. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one could interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream and you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. We should also give glory to God for these gifts that we have. It's very easy to make it all about me, all about the great things I can do, all about look at how wonderful that is. But we should remember, like Joseph here, who has a very unique ability that God has given to him, and an ability that Pharaoh has not been able to find anywhere else, that he could take this and just shine it on himself all day long, and instead, his response is, I can't even do this, but God can do this. And think of who he's speaking to, because in Egyptian culture, the pharaohs were looked at as if they were gods. And so not only am I giving you this answer, but it's not me, your servant, the person under you that's here doing this. It is a God who is doing this, a God that you might view as a competing God because of the way you guys do things. This is where the power is coming from. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, after getting this interpretation, and the interpretation was basically this, these seven bad that would eat the seven good in both dreams represented that there were going to be 7 years of everything being great when it came to harvest and crops and all of those things, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And if they weren't prepared for those 7 years of famine, they were going to be in trouble. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Now think about where Joseph found himself at the beginning of this chapter. In prison. You ever walked into a prison, found somebody you connected with, and said, there is no one as wise and discerning as you, and God has clearly blessed you in life? No, we usually think of terms of wrong turns and where did it all go wrong, and there's nothing of value there. Maybe I can bring something to them. Regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in, God can use us in incredible ways. And so he says to him, there's no one more wise, no one more discerning. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. In all of this, God is seen by the last person in the story who should see God, because in his mind, he is a God. And yet, because of what Joseph does, because of where Joseph points the attention, because all of it is truth, God is seen. And we find Joseph in the midst of this going through more ups and downs than most of us could ever imagine. And we keep remembering that God is with Joseph. God is with Joseph when he is the favorite son. God is with Joseph when his brothers hate him. God is with Joseph when he finds himself at the bottom of the pit. God is with Joseph as a slave. God is with Joseph as a wrongly accused slave. God is with Joseph in prison. God is with Joseph with more responsibility and in charge in prison. He's with Joseph with difficult dreams and dreams that sound good. He's with Joseph now before Pharaoh, and now he is with Joseph as Joseph is put just below Pharaoh in charge of everything. Crazy road, isn't it? So many ups and downs. And my question maybe for us this morning is, at which point in this road would we give up? And I hope there's at no point in that road we give up and we keep remembering that great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. But realistically, when we look around us and we think of people who have followed God for a short time or for a long time and have walked away, or if you have found yourself in that place where you either are about to walk away or you've walked away and you're back, so many places on that road, most of us would give up. Because it's just too hard. The end is not in sight. Everything has gone the way it shouldn't go. We had a story in Bible class about that this morning, where Lazarus is sick and Lazarus dies and it seems like it's all over, and then Jesus comes in and he raises Lazarus from the dead. We serve a God that understands this plan far better than any of us can imagine. We serve a God who all of these years of Joseph's life put him through all of these things and allow him to struggle and to have high points and low points, to bring him to a point where he finds himself in prison, because that's where he needs to meet these two servants of Pharaoh. And if that connection does not happen, then Joseph does not find himself here. And then Egypt is not going to be saved from this great famine that is coming. And then our Bibles are a whole lot shorter. Think about that for a minute. Years, decades of life, all spent to be in the right place at the right time, because that is where God needs to connect to people. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And we think of that kind of plan, and we think if we were the best author in the world to be able to come up with a story like that, it would be pretty amazing. And yet so many times we give up on God just short of that meeting with Pharaoh. We give up on God just short of that meeting with Pharaoh's servants in the midst of prison. We're so caught up in the pit or in the prison that we don't realize that there can be something good that comes out of this. And this morning, as we come in here, there are a lot of us that are in the palace, and there are a lot of us that are in the pit or in the prison. And we have to remember that God is in all of those places. There are a lot of us as students who have been thoroughly enjoying the summer that are about to find ourselves back in the pit of school, or teachers that have been thoroughly enjoying the summer that are about to find themselves back in the pit of school, and at the same time not realizing that sometimes that pit actually is a whole lot better than we thought it was, and that is the place that we do connect with people that God intends to put in our lives. Some of us find ourselves this morning in the pit of debt, and you think, I can never get out of this, I'm just treading water. And you don't realize that there are lessons that can be learned in all of this, and that God doesn't want you to be overcome by that, that God doesn't want you to be so focused on that you missed everything else. Some of us are there because of no decision of our own, and some of us are there because we did dumb things. Some of us this morning find ourselves in the pit of health issues, in the pit of relationship issues, and family issues, and work issues. And wherever your pit is, we need to remember that God is with us. And as we're in the midst of that, we need to realize that, unlike Joseph, we're not alone in that pit. There are a lot of folks around us going through some of the same struggles, the same difficulties, and if we could see past ourselves long enough, we could, like Joseph did in prison, we could be an encouragement in using our gifts that God has given us to help those people too. And this morning, this is our family. This is our church family. There are some of us that are on highs right now. There are some of us on lows right now. Some of us that are just kind of in between trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And we are all doing this together as a family. And we all recognize the fact that God is faithful to us and he is here with us. And unfortunately, because of how life goes and because of how families go and all those kinds of things, sometimes we lose sight of that. And that's why we are all here together, because we can encourage each other along to move in the right direction. This morning, if you look at your life and you think, where in the world is God in all of this? I believe he is there ready to show you, if you'll open your eyes. This morning, if you look and you think, I want to follow him, but I'm not sure exactly how or what, it all begins with just the first steps. Like anything we do in life that is a process, it begins with the first steps. We hear his message. We know his word. We read his word. We believe what he says to us. We confess his name. We're baptized into him. Repent of the life that we've lived, and we start to live this new life. And this morning, if you've done that and you keep finding yourself in pits and falling away, we'd like to pray with you as a family. If there's any ways we can help and encourage you, we'd love to do that. If you have any needs at all this morning, please come while we stand and sing.